This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Thursday, July 8th. Well, wheat markets and the corn and bean markets, for that matter, have stabilized after the major push down on Tuesday coming out of the long holiday weekend, where we had a big gap lower across all the grains. And corn, of course, was limit down. It had to extend some of that on Wednesday. But since then, we've basically just been trading sideways. Wheat has dropped into some key support levels and appears to be holding. Corn and beans, of course, back down to levels that are pretty much wiped out all of the plantings report bullishness and are back down to some significant support levels from late June. So here we are, markets trying to kind of gather themselves after a pretty big wipeout to start the week. Weather, of course, is just by far the main driver. Now that we know what the plantings are, it's really all about weather. And for that matter, we didn't get the bump up in plantings for soybeans at all. We didn't get near as much of an increase in corn as we expected. So we don't have that to fall back on. We still need record yields in corn to keep us from dropping below a billion bushel carryout. That's difficult to envision considering the drought across the northern plains, Minnesota, northern Iowa. It's a very big area and a good 20% of what the U.S. produces. So it's hard to envision that we're going to see record yields with that much of a drag on yield in those key areas. Now, the eastern Midwest is looking great. They could be setting up for record yields. Southern Midwest, too much rain, got some flooding going on. But by and large, they're carrying the load of crop condition ratings, where we see them be fairly stable for corn. Beans dropped about 4 points in the good to excellent category. So we do see some deterioration going on in beans. And they have been holding better than the corn. But by and large, all of the grain markets, I guess it's just a win to say that we're stabilizing after such a significant drop on Tuesday. Going forward, of course, the weather models are contradicting each other. The GFS still has more rain in for that key dry areas of the northern plains and the northern Midwest. North Dakota had some rains. Central Montana had some rains over the last day or two. So that, I think, kind of keeps the bulls at bay. But as we move into pollination for corn across the heart of the Midwest, which will be starting about next week, and then over the next 2 to 3 weeks, some of the models are starting to suggest that heat dome that's centered over the northern plains now will shift a little bit and move into the western Midwest. If that would happen, of course, that would be a pretty bullish development, but we'll just have to see. There's many years where you get that high pressure ridge, it's just to the west of the Midwest, and it just doesn't impact the key areas of corn and bean country. But as we move forward, again, you know, weather's going to be the driver. There's a great deal of uncertainty there. There's a massive heat in the west, and it wouldn't take much to budget a little bit east. The northern plains are just a disaster area across pretty much most of Montana, almost all of North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota. Again, they've had some rains, so there are pockets that look okay, but this for spring wheat, these are the worst crop conditions we've seen since 1988, and that was an absolute wipeout. So spring wheat, of course, has been the leader of the wheat complex. We've had harvest going on in hard red and soft red. Soft red yields are better than expected. They're doing very well. Hard red, of course, we were looking at record yields in Kansas. It still could be on tap, but either way, you're still looking at big yields coming out of Kansas. So once you get that pressure behind us, then I think it's much easier for the market to move higher and follow the other markets higher as well, especially Minneapolis. So I think that Minneapolis will continue to be the leader unless you get a weather market that does materialize in corn and soybeans. If those two markets take off, then I think Chicago will perform better, just trying to keep up with corn and world prices in general, and where the hedge funds will go and the big trading funds will dive into Chicago. So that is the one thing that we have to be careful of for these next probably 4 weeks, to be cautious about putting on spreads with Chicago as the short leg. I think Kansas City versus Chicago is still in play. Minneapolis versus Chicago certainly would come back into play if you got that bump up. We're already quite far ahead of Chicago, but we have to be careful with the weather and corn and beans and how Chicago would react to that. But ultimately, Minneapolis will be the leader of the wheat complex to the upside, I think, for the next several months. Kansas City and Chicago, their hedge pressure is going to be largely behind us, so they will follow along more easily. And again, they're both at significant support levels and appear to be holding. So that's there are opportunities there that are presenting themselves. Other than that, we're looking at the equities, seeing some pressure today that could spill over into the grains. The dollar is part of that. It's had a pretty good run here. I think that we'll have to watch that. Obviously, of course, we always do, but that kind of leans into some of the pressure on the grains too. But I don't think it's that big a deal. It is for wheat. I shouldn't say it's not a big deal. It is for wheat because we do have export competition. And there are decent crops coming out of the Black Sea, European Union. We will have competition there. But for corn, we really don't. Brazil has just had a disaster from start to finish in their corn. They had a very dry start, didn't get a good start to the crop, and then they've had an early freeze, which has done more damage than was initially thought. So there's going to be much more demand pulling from the United States as we get into late summer, early fall, right about the time we're harvesting. So, you know, we're watching that in Brazil. At the same time, demand is still huge. Ethanol demand is still huge, even despite some of the legislation and the court rulings. But demand for corn is going to continue to be very strong. And again, you know, we're already staring down the barrel of some significant yield reductions if things don't line up perfectly over the next 4 weeks. So we still got some time for a weather market, a lot of volatility left in this market. And as we saw last year, it was a late drought that pulled this market higher through August and September. And so we have to be aware of that. I think the market will be more tuned into that. Usually once we get past pollination, they kind of forget about it and it's a done deal wherever you end up. I don't think that's the case this year because we can still see yield declines on dryness as it continues through the end of the growing season. So I look for still more volatility. I still think there's upside here. I still think that given the long-term demand-led bull market that we are in, and now with supply shortfalls coming in Brazil and potentially here in the U.S., you know, we're right in the gut slot of production right in front of us for the next 4 weeks. That is going to determine, I think, a huge part of what our yield will be. So we can just expect much more volatility as we move forward. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.